It's always a pleasure to be here. Happy Mother's Day for the moms here. And let me open in prayer. Father, we do come before you and we thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for the ministry that you also performed here upon the earth, Father, as you walked. And we thank you for the ministry that you give us. Father, hold our hearts. Help us to hear your word. Help us to grow and to understand and to love you more. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, what can we do with a great verse like that? Well, you began, okay? We can memorize it. We can meditate on it and allow it to fill our minds and hearts. Early in his ministry, Jesus spoke about his indwelling his followers. John 14:20 tells us, "I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." This is an amazing, amazing gift. And it's the gift of Christ in us. This is a man that I like very much. His name is J. Oswald Sanders. This is his devotional. He's written many, many books. He was the head for many years of OMF, which was China Inland Missions. He writes this, and he says, "Christianity is the only religion which the founder claims to live in the very beings of those who place their faith in him. Neither Buddha nor Muhammad made any such claim. This is the unique characteristic of the Christian faith and what makes its benefits and truth far superior to those of other religions." He goes on. This personal indwelling of Christ is both a fact to comprehend and an experience to realize. There is a difference between a fact and an experience of that fact. Whether we are conscious of it or not, Christ indwells every Christian all the time. It may seem mysterious, but so are many other things about the universe we cannot understand. I am not conscious of the blood flowing in my veins, but that does not alter the fact that it does. Through failing to realize that Christ really indwells them, many believers never go on to fully appreciate and utilize this blessed fact. Sad to say, I see this in our churches today, in my classroom where I teach. Even sadder to say, I see it in my own heart. We will all give an account of what we have done with this great gift of salvation. Read with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And 5:10 states this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." I believe a verse like 2 Corinthians 5:21 is there to help us be accountable for our great salvation. Daniel Webster, great scholar, great American patriot. Many of my 10th graders now, because of Google, thank you very much, didn't know who he was. The composer of the dictionary. Daniel Webster said this, "The greatest thought that had ever entered my mind is that one day I will have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my life." Each one of us will stand before holy God and give an account of our lives. Now, this isn't the judgment day of heaven or hell. Please understand that. All Christians, you have come to grips with that, Lord willing, you know, early in your life or later in your life. This is not the day that God's going to determine whether or not you go to heaven or hell. That fact is one in our life as we call upon Jesus Christ and receive his grace. That's the white throne judgment, and that is not for believers. But all believers will stand before God and give an account of their life. We will give an account for this salvation, for this gift that God has given us. God Himself has placed His Spirit in us. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? What have you done with this great gift that we have? This is not meant to say, that we will be judged for whatever we've done, whether good or bad. This isn't a works judgment. In other words, I better get out there and work. I better get out there and do, No, this isn't about works. See, God has already planned good works for you to do. The problem is, we don't always do them. God has planned things for us to do. God's Spirit is in us. God empowers us. God gives us the ability. Praise God, He is very merciful, He is very patient, and He picks us up and puts us back on the track. But the reality of it is, we are going to give an account. We will give an account before Him. This sermon today is called Our Ministry of Reconciliation. First and foremost, we must always look to the first ministry of reconciliation. And that was Jesus' ministry here upon earth. Look, if you will, with me at 2 Corinthians starting in 5:11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. While Jesus was on earth, His ministry was that of reconciliation. He called sinful people like us back to His Father. At first, He did it with words and miracles, prayer. But then, in verse 21, He shows us where that full ministry was accomplished. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We now have this ministry of reconciliation. But first, we must be reconciled with God. We cannot do this ministry of reconciliation unless we ourselves are filled with the Holy Spirit within us. We cannot witness to others. We cannot preach the Word of God. We cannot point others to Christ unless we ourselves know Him, unless we understand who we are. Well, how? How are we reconciled? First and foremost, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We must believe that His death set us free. We must believe that Jesus Christ is God, that He came to earth, that He lived a sinless life, that He came for a purpose, and that was to reconcile all people that would trust in Him, that would believe in Him, that would receive His precious sacrifice for our lives, that we, as we repent of our sin and turn to Him, will receive his Spirit in us. Christ in us. But now, we are also in him. Christ in us takes away our judgment. We're not going to hell. We in Christ now, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And we have a ministry. Why do we enter into this ministry? It's because of these words. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. There was a hero of mine. His name is Dr. Gaiman. 1955, Christ's love compelled him to go to Kenya. He and his wife and his family, a young family at that time, went to Kenya. For 37 years, he witnessed to the Kenyan people. He was brilliant. Could have been a scholar, could have been a professor, could have been anything he wanted to be. He witnessed to the Kenyan people. He worked in a seminary. He built this little grassroots seminary, if you will, into Scott Theological Seminary through the grace of God and the help of others. 37 years he toiled there. And praise God, when he left the seminary, raising up pastors who love the Lord and are growing in their faith and witnessing in East Africa in powerful ways. I had the privilege of spending a week with him in 2002 in Kenya. What a great man. Why? Why did you do it, Dr. Gaiman? Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. This past week, we took the 10th graders of Timothy Christian School to New York City Relief. It's a food bus, actually. It goes to the Bronx, and they feed the poor. And we, all of the 10th graders, rotate through. And I went with this last group, so we went. It's an ugly ministry. For lack of a better word, it's not a pretty ministry. You park the bus on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. You're parked in front of an AIDS hotel to the right. When you arrive, there are people on the street, some guy laying on the steps, some guy doing something else. You know, people are waiting. They expect the bus to come. And you look out the window and you say, who are these people? Who are these people? Many of them, severe mental problems. Many of them, you know, severe health problems. Many of them, you know, a lot of different problems. And you look at the people in the bus. You say, why do you do it? I mean, what are you doing here? You know, we're here for a day. I go back to my home, blah, blah, blah. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. You know, it's an amazing thing. Look at verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled to us himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry has been given to all believers by Christ himself. You have a ministry. You are, we are, ministers. We are ministers of reconciliation. And this ministry, what do? We give an answer. We give an answer to those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. You see, when we look at a broken world, sometimes we can see the mess. Jesus doesn't see it that way. We look at the world, and I like to look at the kids going to Carnegie Mellon. I like to see the kids going to Princeton, Harvard, Yale. You know, I like to see healthy people. I like to see people, you know, rejoicing and doing. Tennis players. I like tennis players. I got one back there. You know, but the reality of it is, Christ's loves what is unseen. Christ sees these broken people in ways that I don't fully see them. Christ knows in him they can be different. You've heard and seen the testimonies, the alcoholics sleeping on the streets of New Brunswick, and all of a sudden the guy's preaching the gospel and standing boldly. You know, the woman who was once a prostitute, all of a sudden, you know, she's a saint reaching out. We know the stories. We know Christ changes people. We know Christ changed us. But yet we grow dull. Yet we grow complacent. Yet this ministry doesn't seem to really take a full grip on my life, no less yours. I'm thinking of me, you know, and that aspect of, you know, who are we in Christ? You know, and that, you know, amazing gift of our great salvation. Take a look at verses 19 through 20. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Again, first and foremost, before we can truly, truly reconcile others, we must be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There was a group of Chinese intellectuals. They came to the United States, I believe, and some people here in this church probably know better than I. They came to the church, I believe, in the early 60s. They were at the different universities, and they were studying, and they decided to get together and have Bible study. And this Bible study began to grow. And they began to begin small churches. They began to meet in house churches and stuff like that. Well, it is from those Bible studies, and it is from those early Christians, that a ministry developed. And the ministry was called Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. It's located today in Paradise, Pennsylvania. For a long time, it was the largest Chinese distributor of Christian material in the world. I'm not so sure if that's still true today, because China is a very large publishing, and there are a lot of good things happening in China today, but certainly it still is in the United States. And this group of Chinese intellectuals put together this missions group, if you will, called Ambassadors to Christ. Ambassadors to Christ. Now, after we have been reconciled to God, we become his ambassadors. We now have the ability to tell others. Can you know? Can we know that Christ is in us and we are in him? Can we absolutely know that? The answer is yes. Not only is the answer is yes, God wants you to know that. It is important that you know that. Why is that so important? Because that is how we can have the confidence and courage to go out there and witness to others. How do we know Christ is in us? Well, first and foremost, who is first in your life? Do you desire to put Jesus first? Do you desire to grow in your knowledge and love of him? God gave that to you. That is not a natural desire. Secondly, are you convicted of sin? When you sin, do you quickly repent? Do you turn to God? You see, sin breaks our relationship with God. If you're loving your sin, if you are caught in sin, and if you love your sin, probably the Holy Spirit is not in you. But the reality of that is, if you have the Holy Spirit, your hearts and your desire will be to repent, to reform that bond with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Why? Because of his love for you, because of his mercy and his grace. Do you desire to grow, to become more like Christ? That's from him. The world doesn't desire to become like Christ. The world wants whatever the world wants. You know, they're the world. Do you desire to read his word? Do you desire to pray? Do you desire? I heard the joy of it. I was in David Pastorello's office going over the sermon, and I could hear the joy here. Praise God. There's a lot of joy amongst the young people. But do you desire to grow? That joy and that fellowship and that love, where do you think it comes from? It's from God. That's his Spirit witnessing to you as you speak to others, as you love others. There's another one, and there's many multiple more. His Spirit communicates our spirit as we read his word. Not all the time. Every time I pick up the Bible, honestly, I have to speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. But I don't always hear. Why? I can block myself. But I do hear. His Spirit communicates in his written word. His Spirit communicates in his prayer. As we fall on our knees and come before, help me, Lord, I need you. Help me, Lord, I believe in you. His Spirit communicates to our spirit. What do we do with a great verse like 2 Corinthians 5:21? Well, we worship. We worship and serve our God. He is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your time. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy. What else do? We fight. We fight against complacency, which is deep in the heart of humans. We do not give in to pride. We do not give in to fear and the sin that so easily entangles. We strive to become more Christ-like. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then he goes on in 6:1-2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. If there is anyone who has not come to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What must we do to be saved? Repent and believe. Come before God. If God is moving in your heart, if you have not made a full commitment to God, today is the day to do it. Because we don't know tomorrow. If you have not fully committed your life to Jesus Christ, and he is moving your heart with his words, I urge you, pray to him. Ask him, Lord, I want to receive this free gift of salvation. Lord, I turn from my sin. Lord, I turn to you. It's a very simple prayer. Anyone who desires to ask, he will give it. He will give his grace, his mercy, his precious blood. Well, that's for non-believers. What about us? What about us who've been baptized? What about us who've been in the church, some of us a long time now? What about us who are growing in our faith, who know that Christ's Spirit is in us? We have a ministry. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry to reach out as Jesus was always about his Father's business. While he was on the earth, so must we. I ask me, are you willing to be an ambassador for Christ? Jesus paid the price for us with his very life. This is not a cheap price that was paid for your salvation. God himself died for us. God himself shed his blood. God himself took the sin of the world, of me and you, upon himself. Are we willing to become ambassadors for Christ? Not clinging to our shyness, which many of us can use as an excuse. Not being afraid what others say of, people will think I'm crazy. People will think I'm weird. People will think I'm this. People call the Apostle Paul insane. Paul, your great knowledge has made you insane. Well, people are going to call you a lot of things. I'll be honest with you, or could. They often don't, but they could. But the reality of it is, one day, we are going to stand before Holy God and give an account. We are going to stand before Holy God and give an account. What did you do with the gift that is in you? What did you do with the presence of God dwelling in you? You know, the kids asked, we were going over heaven. Oswald Sanders wrote a book, Heaven Better by Far. It was an interesting book. And the kids were asking, you say that there's going to be no tears in heaven, right, Mr. Fitzgerald? There's going to be no sadness. There's going to be no sorrow in heaven. Yes, that's correct. No tears, no sorrow. Well, what are you going to do that Jesus is going to wipe away every tear? What do I do with that? What do I do? How are you going to answer that? There's no tears in heaven. There's no crying in heaven. Uh-oh. I said, you know what it is? That's when we stand before God and give an account of our life. You see, when I stand before God, it's like it's called the Bema Judgment. The Bema Judgment is like from the Greek Olympics. And it's not a biblical term, but it's an Olympian term. That it's when you cross the line, when we enter into heaven. You know, we're going to give an account of our life, and we're going to go to heaven. When I stand before God and give an account of my life, believe me, there's going to be a lot of tears. I'm going to be crying away. Of all of the opportunities, honestly, that I missed, of all of the time, perhaps, that I wasted, of all of the things that really I could have and should have and would have and kind of did, but didn't, I'm going to be crying. I probably will be. Maybe you not as much, okay? But I will be. And I believe that is where Jesus will wipe away those tears. And then Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter my kingdom. It's okay. You're not coming in on what you did. You're coming in on the blood of Jesus Christ. You're coming in on who you believe to. You're coming in because of what Jesus did for you. That's our entry ticket into heaven. It's not what I do or did or done or didn't do. But man, I would like to give some good accounts. I would. Hey, Lord, you know, yeah, I listen, praise, boom, very dull. Very dull. Very dull. You know, but there's times when we're listening. Guys, here's a hint. You, most of you, are younger than me. You got a lot of time. You got a lot of time to serve and to grow and minister and to witness and to really praise God. Don't be afraid. Don't pull back. Don't let all of the excuses that so easily, and it's sin, but don't let those excuses easily entangle you or prevent you. God's calling you to be something. You know what it is? A minister. It's a minister of reconciliation. witness to those kids in your school. There are hurting Christians. There are hurting people in your school. Keep your eyes open. Pray for it. He'll reveal to you what he wants you to do that day in this ministry of reconciliation. Come before God. Reach out in love, in caring, in respect. I first saw those people laying on the streets of the Bronx, and I'll be honest with you, my heart recoiled. God enabled me to go out there, we witnessed, we went, open my heart, Lord. Help me to love. Help me to respect. Help me to care for to those who are hurting, both Christians and non-Christians. Don't think your brothers and sisters in Christ don't hurt. We do. Reach out to them. Build each other. Don't think the lost, sinful world out there loves what they're doing. They don't. It might look like they do. They don't. It's not pretty going to bed alone. And it's far less pretty standing before Jesus Christ, as one day they will, without a Savior. Without a Savior. Reach out to them in love, compassion, respect, and caring. Do not look upon what is seen, but be willing to get to the heart of those we minister to and pray for. Jesus does not look at the outward sign of man. He looks at the heart. That's the way we too must minister. Not at the garb, not at the things that we see, but perhaps even the things that could be in Christ, or the things that are, that song, smished down because of sin. We minister this ministry of reconciliation in the power of Jesus Christ. Trust. Know who you are in Christ. You're an ambassador. You are an ambassador. His Spirit is in you. You don't go alone. You don't go alone. But I pray that you would go willingly. I pray that me would go willingly. Bad English, I get it. But the reality of it is, I pray that we would go willingly. We would be able to hear. We would be able to listen. Boldly step forward in the power of who we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I come before you. What amazing verses. What amazing words that you give us. What an amazing gospel that we have to proclaim, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for being so dull and complacent and internal and introspective, and I could go on, but I won't. Father, help us. I pray for this church. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the love of young people. I thank you for their love for you. And I just pray your blessing. If anyone does not know Jesus and Jesus is moving in their heart, I pray that you would pray to him, speak boldly to him, repent of your sin, turn to him. Go talk to Nathan. Go talk to Pastor Lowe. If you want, come up and talk to me or many other people in this church. Be reconciled first and foremost to God himself. But then when we have this ministry of reconciliation, let us move forward in his power and his strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.